All right. Thank you, actors. That was awesome. Hey, guys, we wanted to kind of highlight, and we want to talk about tonight, how community group, when it becomes less and less relational, becomes more and more of a problem. Here, I want you to think for a second. Think with me, which of these would represent your community group? We've got four pillars of community. Anybody know what they are? Encouragement, care, accountability, and, okay, acceptance. And so these are all tangible things that we can do well, right? You can plan on doing these. But tonight we're going to focus on, as tangible as those are, none of those can function without the intangibles. Being together in community as a relationship instead of a routine. The risk is that over time you lose this, and so tonight we just wanted to highlight. The first, just as a reminder, the next slide is really our community vision, and it says connecting people in authentic relationships that leads to spiritual transformation. There's really two things that we'll highlight. The main thing is it is relational. That may sound simple, but it's profound. Because if you don't think of your community group in that context, it'll just suck the life out of the community group over time. And so we wanted to focus on that. In any relationships, there's three essential things. And so tonight we want to look at, number one is just good communication. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and then Robbie will talk a little bit about building trust and having fun. There are two primary relationships in your life that are paramount. The first one is so paramount that if you miss it, you can't do any of the others. So those two primary relationships, relationship with Christ, number one, and your relationship with others, number two. Okay, so as you're a leader and you're leading your community group, you have to start your primary relationship with Christ. Okay, so as a community leader, you're kind of setting the table for your community group. So you're kind of the guardians of how things are going to roll in your community group. And so there's the vertical relationship, primary, then there's a horizontal relationship. As this relates to our relationship with God, if you saw good communication, our whole Bible is written as a love letter, and it's written as a relationship to us. And we relate to Christ through a relationship. If we don't see it that way, it becomes a bunch of lists of rules and things to do. How do you communicate well with the Lord? So number one, I'd say, how's prayer? When community groups come to me and they say, hey, I'm struggling, I'm frustrated, one of my first responses is, hey, you know, let me understand this. How often are you praying for your men? And a lot of times the answer is none. I'm not praying for them. And so that's a good question for you to ask yourself when you start to get frustrated is, hey, am I shouldering the load here? Am I frustrated? Why am I frustrated? Am I taking this to the Lord in prayer? And you can't expect your community group to have a supernatural experience if you're not inviting a supernatural person to the table. And so praying for your community group, praying to the Lord, asking him to move, being spirit-led. The second would be building trust, which would translate spiritually into consistent time in the Word. Three, you know, the third part of a healthy relationship was fun. And I would say, how fresh is your relationship? As I mentioned before, I'm talking to leaders, okay? You guys have people sit in your living room, and hopefully the expectation is that they're going to come and it'll be a place of healing. It'll be a place of authenticity. It'll be a place of hope. You are doing church in your living room, and the Bible says that what we do in our living room is the hope of the world. It says you're a city set on a hill. You are salt and light. And so my question primarily to you leaders is, are you fostering a relationship that allows for God to show up? And those are tough questions to answer, but they're needed. And so I would say, how much time you spend in prayer, consistent time in the Word, and a fresh dynamic. This is the simplest and the hardest thing that we've all ever done. So I'm in the boat with you. I'm also a community group leader. for those of you that have experienced frustration, I have as well in my community group. We're all broken people, right, in process, so it's messy. And so these are some of the scriptures that guide us and give us kind of a, if we could take a microscope and kind of look into our living room, here's what the kind of environment we should be providing for our community groups. The first one is Philippians 2, 3, and 4. So it's almost speaking to leaders of you in your living room. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So many times I'm thinking, whether I'm frustrated or I'm thinking about the problems in the community group, it's all through the lens of me. And you know what? If I peeled a few layers back, a lot of my frustration is because I'm frustrated with somebody else for something they did, but at the end of the day, it makes me kind of look bad as a leader. There's insecurities that rise up. There's all these things. And so there is just the easiest thing that Christ says to us as believers and leaders is he says, hey, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. So I was trying to understand what that meant, and I just thought, okay, take up your cross. If you think about a cross for a second, that's a torture device. That's like we wear a cross on our neck, and that was a Roman execution style. And so we wear this as a symbol of what Christ did for us, but it says, you want to follow me, take up your cross, your instrument of execution, and follow me. And so it's asking us to die so that we can let Christ live through us. That's a big deal. The hardest thing we can ever do is die to ourselves and say, hey, I'm going to consider others' needs better than my own. The second verse is Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I would mark this in your Bible. This describes a community group who's living relationally with each other. And notice where it starts. It starts with you. It says, hey, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And then it moves to what your community group would look like. It says, hey, bearing with one another. Bearing one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, as it calls us to do in Scripture. And then the second part says, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. You cannot lead a community group well without reflecting on what Christ has done for you, giving you the ability to, if you have a complaint with one another, to forgive one another. One of the hardest things we can do in life is forgive somebody, but we have a great example that Christ has done for us. And that's why it says to reflect on that. And I love it that we have a great tool, the Conflict Field Guide, that we help walk you through. And then it says, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. How wonderful would a community group look like when that stuff was happening? Scriptures use the word love a lot. And I think love is defined culturally very differently than what the scriptures say. So our definition of love is 1 Corinthians 13, right? That's our love chapter. And so I took a risk to rewrite the Holy Word of God into watermark. And so I will read how we are to love based on 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the most inspiring persuasiveness in the room, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I astound my community group with my scriptural knowledge and can recite chapter and verse in the ESV to every community group issue, and if I have the spiritual disciplines of a military soldier but have not love, I am nothing. If I have read every Christian leadership book available, am in the first to lean into every conflict but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. it always perseveres. Love never fails, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I don't know about you, but when I get to the always hopes, always perseveres, that's hard for me. The opposite of love is not hate, because hate requires intense emotions. The opposite of love is apathy, the absence of feelings, that I don't care about them anymore. And so when we think about it in that context, how close are we to loving our community group as opposed to enduring them or not hoping the best or assuming the worst? These are all things that when I read 1 Corinthians 13, the definition of love and how to lead and love my guys, I have room to grow. And so I hope those three verses help you. I want to talk a little bit about communication, because I got my master's degree in cross-cultural communications. I took a lot of classes, so I didn't have anywhere to really present these. So I figured I might as well show you some of these. Okay, so two things about communication that I want you to know. First, when I ask you the question, how do you communicate with your community group? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Talking, telling them, texts, praying, emails, right? I mean, that's how we think about communicating with our community. 2/3 of all of our communication is nonverbal. Okay? Only 1/3 is actually words. And so that's why you can sit up here and watch couple number one get all the right answers, yet the more they talk, the more unhealthy they seem, but it's all wrong. How does that change the way you communicate with your community groups? I hope it changes drastically, because you're focusing on only one third, or many of us are, 1/3 of communicating. So maybe the problem is not what we're saying, it's that our actions are speaking louder than our words are. How are we communicating when we're not in our community groups? How are we communicating nonverbally? And the second principle is you are always communicating. Always. In other words, you cannot not communicate. I am talking, you are listening. But when I'm looking at you, we are communicating. You are communicating with me and I am communicating with you. And so you can never not communicate. That makes a big difference in the way that we think about our community groups and how we love them. We can get very frustrated because verbally we are saying we love them, we care about them. Hey, I want to share something with you that I've seen in your life that I want you to improve on. But don't worry, I love you. You know that, right? It's all the nonverbals. There are many things you can do to communicate well. And so you're always communicating. The question is, what are you communicating? So our actions, our nonverbals, looking down, texting. How about not attending? That's communicating something. Sometimes we don't know what, but it communicates something. All those things contribute to the health of our community group. Don't get frustrated if you haven't thought through, hey, how about the 2/3? Let me focus on the 2/3. Communicate love and trust outside of our group time, our date night, where everything just happens there, where we remind and we do all this stuff. And so those are kind of some principles of communication I think will help as we think through, and we'll give you some time tonight to kind of talk at your tables as to how that's going and to think through that. So Robbie's now going to talk about building trust. Two things about building trust, just inhibitors that take away trust and things that build trust. And then the third thing is just having fun and why that's so important to the health of our community group.
So, yeah, my first thing I'm going to talk about is just what are some things within groups that detract from trust. So there's different things, and this is not an all-inclusive list. This is just something that Jeff and I sat down and kind of went through. Some of the main things that really take away trust in a group. There's the excuse of we're too different. They don't get me. They're not like me. I'm totally different from them. And so just on that, Jeff and I, as we were brainstorming, just talked through Jesus's community group and how the disciples, I mean, there were 13 of them. So first off, it's a little too big of a group. We like to keep it at 7 or 8. But who am I to tell Jesus what to do, though? I just did. You're right. But all of the disciples had different, well, they didn't all have different. Several of them were fishermen, but Jesus was a carpenter. I wrote down one of the guys in the group was upper class. He was actually a descendant of a royal line. There were lower class, hardworking. There was a government worker. There was an accountant. There were several fishermen. There was a political activist. As I walked in tonight, I told some of you girls to vote for me because you saw me in my formal attire. So I'm not a politician, but anyway, bad joke. Political activist. There was a traitor. And so everybody in this group just had different characteristics. And yet what made them united was that they all had one goal and one purpose, and they were all pursuing the same thing together. And so as groups, just focus on their differences and don't focus on what they do have in common. Why are you here? I love Jesus. I want to not live in isolation. I want to grow and be sharpened in the word. I want godly people in my life. Those are commonalities for groups to focus on as they move forward and build trust, rather than focus on the things that they don't have in common that do detract from trust. Gossip. This one's huge. And I think I tend to, as a woman, think that this is only mainly a girl group problem. But I think I've talked to the guys, and y'all have had some groups that have struggled with that as well. And so, or Jeff is completely oblivious to it. Ooh, is that me? Probably. Okay, and so just for y'all to jot down a couple of scriptures about gossip, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Also Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. And Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. And so there's several other proverbs. Those are just the two that I picked out, because the first 5 words in it says, a gossip betrays a confidence. And so being betrayed takes away trust in a group. And so just making sure that that is something that your group is very careful to not do outside of group time. These last three, lack of presence, lack of authenticity, lack of openness. If somebody's showing up once a month, not sure if they're trustworthy. I don't know if they're coming back. I'm going to spill my guts, and I don't know if I trust them to ever come back and walk through life with me. So Brian and I 2 weeks ago did a talk on realigning expectations. So if you missed that, or you're like, hey, we have that problem in our group, go back and listen to that talk from 2 weeks ago and realign your group. Go back through, hey, are we still committed? Are we still coming? Is this still a good night to meet? If a couple of us are struggling to get here, maybe we need to switch nights. So just kind of reassessing where your group is at and changes that need to be made. Lack of authenticity. So if people are just not opening up, they're lying, or being secretive about things, that obviously can detract from trust. But then it causes this ripple effect, which is the last one, which is lack of openness. So if you're not going to be open and tell me what's going on in your life, and I know there's more going on, then I'm not going to do it either. And so we can build up this kind of level of pride where we're just kind of one-upping each other, like, okay, you're not going to open up, I'm not going to do it either. And so all of that just builds this unhealthy presence of lacking trust.
Just secrets are never good.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Comes to you and says, "Hey, I just want this between me and you." It's not a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. So just in principle, just remember that. Like, I know group members will come sometimes and say, you know, "Hey, can I just tell this, you know, to you?"
And you got to promise not to tell anybody.
Yeah, that's never a healthy thing. I would always want to say, hey, I want to hear you and I want to love you, but I want you to share this with the whole community group. And if they want to trust you first, just help get them to the whole group and say, hey, secrets are always a bad thing. We love each other. Let's share.
And one thing to just always say, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you got to promise not to tell anybody, your first response is always like, I can't make that promise to you. I will not promise not to share what you say. I'm not saying I'm going to run out and blab it either, but I cannot make the promise that I will not share it. If it's going to be a detriment to you or to someone else, then in order to love you well or love that person well, I can't promise that I'll keep it a secret. So,
The other thing with arguments or something, somebody says, hey, can I just process this with you, or whatever spiritual way that they say it? Can I just talk to you about this? I always say this. This is a great thing to say as a leader, is say, before we get started, I need to know that you are committed to reconciling. If you're not, we're not going to talk. And so you can get a yes up front before you start talking about anything. Because sometimes they just need to know what the next steps are, and you can help with that. But sometimes they want to gossip. They just want to get sides. So that's how you can kind of preemptive strike that whole thing and just say, hey, I need to know that you're committed to reconciliation. So.
And so the next slide's going to talk about building trust. As Jeff said earlier, our actions do speak louder than words. And so are your actions communicating trust in your group and amongst group members? Like, are they communicating trust? You know, James 2, if you have your Bibles, you can definitely turn there with me. James talks about just faith and works and how those coincide. I'm just going to read through those verses real quick. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing to meet his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And so, telling your group facts or stating, hey, I care for you, but never tangibly showing that in a way to show up and give them a call or be spontaneous and just, you know, send them flowers if they had a hard day at work, whatever. I don't think guys do that. But, doing things that communicate care and encouragement and love far more emphasize the words that are coming out of your mouth. And so that's what the correlation is just to James. Is like, look, Abraham said he trusted God, but when God said, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son, he's like, whoa, I said I trust you, but that's a little much. No, he's like, okay, I trust you, and I'm going to show that I trust you by following through on what you've asked me to do. And so whatever you're doing or asking your group to do, are you showing that through the way that you're acting? And so this next scripture, just we put trust is best nurtured outside of meeting time. And so this is in John 21. I'm not going to read it right now, but it's a tangible example of Jesus expressing love for his disciples. And this comes after Jesus has been crucified, buried, and resurrected. And the disciples are kind of in the, I don't know what to do, the guy we've been following for 3 years, our community leader is dead, and we don't know what to do. And so basically, they're out fishing. They kind of went back to what they used to do. And in John 21, Jesus shows up. This is one of the few times he appears to the disciples after he's resurrected. And if you read in there, it says that, he's talking to them from the shore, and he asked them to come in. And when they come to the land, it says Jesus had made a fire and was cooking fish for them, and he had bread. And he said, hey, come eat. And they all came around and he served them food. And so, you know, it's just a really sweet picture of Jesus tangibly serving them, cooking for them, meeting their need of hunger, feeding them, blessing them in that way. Especially if you think back to the previous time he saw Peter was when they locked eyes as Peter betrayed him and denied him. And so Jesus wasn't like, hey, dude, I think we got to talk. He loved him. And he's like, hey, you're my bro. I love you.
And Peter jumped out of the boat and swam ashore. It says that in Scripture in John 21.
Yeah. He didn't even want to wait to paddle in. He was so excited to see Jesus again. And so he just jumped overboard and swam to the shore. But just a sweet, tangible picture. I'd encourage y'all to read that later. It's in John 21. And just a real tangible picture of Jesus serving and showing his love for his disciples through his actions. Next, we're going to talk through just characteristics of what does even a healthy group look like. And so on here, you know, they make time for one another. And that's above and beyond the one designated date night a week or community designated night. And so just making sure, and we're not saying like, hey, you have to go to community on Monday and then you've got to hang out Thursday night for coffee and then Saturday night for dinner and a movie. Please don't hear us say that. But if the 1-2 hour every week is the only time you have any interaction with them, you might think about implementing things, which we're going to give you ideas later, implementing things that go above and beyond that. Appreciating differences in one another. I am very different from the girls in my community, and right now we're trying to get our offices in order. I'm so not creative. I'm so not decorative, and we've been in our office going on like 3 weeks now, and I still have stuff in piles because I'm paralyzed because I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. One of the girls in my community is like, I would love to come help you. Like, she owns her own design company. She can visualize things and she can create it and make it beautiful. And I'm like, I need people like you because I don't have that gift. And so just being able to appreciate those differences in each other and building on each other's weaknesses and strengths.
But she didn't come help you, though.
She has not yet. It's still on the floor. You're right.
She'd pray for you.
Yes, she's praying for it. And sharing experiences together, laughing together. Again, we're going to kind of give you some feedback and ideas on what kind of experiences you can share. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But initiate and have spontaneity. It doesn't always have to be so rigidly planned out. The formal couple was like, well, I know Friday is coming, and so we will do it then. And it doesn't have to be – sorry, that was my robot impression.
That's good.
thank you. Add spontaneity. It's part of just that relationship feel, you know. It's like the good couple that ended up winning, you know, they're just like, oh, the times when you just, you know, I don't remember what their answers were. I was so
the
mad.
Needs fluctuate. Sometimes we're communicating this, sometimes it's less, and it's relational.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So just on the initiating, things like that, well, whose responsibility is that? And so we got this slide called sharing, talking about sharing the load. And on that, basically, you as a leader have specific responsibilities, and group members have specific responsibilities. And so what I hope, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier, I hope that tonight you guys get great tangible tools, but I also hope that you encourage your members in your group to listen to this talk. It'll be posted online for our Basecamp channel or community channel under Basecamp. But there are takeaways for the group to build this trust and have fun. That burden does not fall solely on the leader. Although you do have a big responsibility here, your group is a part of building that trust and having fun. And so as the leader, just setting the tone, you know, we talked about aligning those expectations a couple weeks ago. You know, does your group expect to have fun? Do you as a leader expect to have fun? And so if so, making sure that everybody is on board with that. Like, hey, what does this look like? How do we want to build into each other moving forward in a creative, fun way. Delegating fun. Hear me say, some of you are sitting here cringing and thinking, I don't have a creative bone in my body, and I don't have great ideas. My idea of fun is going to eat Mexican food and seeing a movie. And beyond that, I have no idea of what we should do. That is okay. Delegate the fun. You probably have people who are wired differently in your group, and they can enjoy that burden or of planning. And so somebody might say, oh, I love to do that. Or maybe everybody hates to do that, so you just take a turn and everybody gets a chance each month. If that's too pressuring for somebody, partner people up. Okay, you two are taking March. You two are going to take April. And just being able to delegate that so that that burden doesn't all fall on your shoulders. Initiate it, you know. Don't always wait on the group to initiate. You need to initiate it as well. And just taking the pulse, like kind of the assessment of 2 weeks ago, like, hey, is our group fun? Do y'all even like it? Are y'all enjoying it? And if not, like, what could we change? What could we do better to make it fun? And as a group member in the group, if you're listening to this online, but then also just for you guys to take this back to them, they have to initiate it too. You know, the burden doesn't all fall on you as leaders to always plan every fun event that happens and to participate. I think a lot of times we hear groups that will say, like, well, my group's just not fun. They don't do anything. And it's like, okay, well, have they ever planned stuff before? Well, yeah, but it's always I can't go or I don't like to do it or, you know, I hate bowling. And it's like, okay, well, you have an obligation as a group member if you're going to give negative feedback and you hate it, either suggest something different or participate and go and just hang out. You don't have to bowl. You can sit there and drink a Coke and cheer them on, whatever that looks like. feel like a Spartan cheerleader if you're cheering at a bowling match. Make suggestions. So like I said, if you don't like the movie and the dinner idea, make suggestions, Topgolf, whatever that looks like. And be constructive in the feedback as a group member. So like I said, if you just want to complain that your group is not fun, you're not helping the group grow or get better. And so as a group member, just being sure that you're giving constructive feedback on things that can change and improve. Things that can inhibit fun in a group, I'm just going to kind of run through this next slide kind of quickly because we're running short on time. Heavy accountability every time or heavy Bible study every time. My quote is I always say that that's such a beatdown. If you show up to your group every week and it's just like an hour of accountability, an hour of Bible study, okay, pray, go home. And you do that week after week, it's
like Groundhog Day. Has anybody seen the movie Groundhog Day? Yeah, yes. You don't want that.
Yes, it's a beating. And so just making sure that you don't get stuck in a boring routine. Lack of communication throughout the week, all truth and no grace, like the couple that we represented, you know, pointing out the things that they can improve on, you know, and gosh, I don't want to show up to that group. Not others focused, the me mentality, and that, okay, that is just back to the scripture that Jeff shared at the beginning, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, of don't be so concerned about yourself, but be concerned with others and what they're doing. One person dominating the time every time, that can take away from fun. And I would say if that's an issue that your group struggles with, we did a talk back in the fall called Community Killers and talked about how you address each of those specific people that might be members in your group and how you can talk through that. Different expectations, rejection, avoiding conflict. So if your group is a whole group of fakers and there's this elephant in the room every time, then that's not going to be fun to come through.
Yeah, and we're called to shepherd one another.
Yeah.
So there is, I mean, I asked my community group just a month ago. We did the assessment, and I was a little bit embarrassed by the results. Of course, I take it on myself because I'm the leader. And they said, you know, it's not very fun. Mm-hmm. So we were talking to them. I said, well, tell me that. And they go, well, we've had this couple had an issue, then this, and I thought about it for a second. I'm like, yeah, I mean, we're called to shepherd one another, and there's going to be things that are burdensome in the community group. That's all the more reason why you need to schedule some fun outside to just take the pressure off of, we can't plan for crisis coming up or a guy not having a job or something that can become burdensome. One, it's giving everybody a voice in the group, and so not just, you know, focusing on that one issue the whole time, which is a real beatdown. But just all the more reason to schedule something outside just to take, you know, just bring some levity back in to the community group. So.
Yeah. So just kind of wrapping it up, communication is key. You know, as Jeff kind of really hit hard on communication at the beginning, I'll just read this slide because I just think it's really good. It kind of expresses our heart tonight. The goal is not to add more events to your for your group to do together. That's not what we're trying to say. The goal is to love each other better today than you were doing yesterday. Simple communication and regular encouragement speaks more volume and builds more trust than showing up to a meeting weekly or doing tasks together. And so how are you guys communicating love and trust and fun within your group? And if it's just adding things to your calendar, that's not the heart behind this tonight. You know, it's are you communicating trust? Is your faith, are your words being put into action in a way that are matching up with what you're saying? Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily. And so if you're just waiting week to week to communicate at all, I would say that you're kind of missing the mark on community. And so we're not saying you have to put the thing in your Outlook calendar and send a text every day at 7:57 a.m. But if you know stuff is going on with people throughout the week, sending them a text, email, you know, writing, nobody does snail mail anymore, but writing a card to them is like huge. Writing notes and stick them in their bag or something before they leave community because you know they have a hard week coming up. Little intangible, spontaneous things like that are really good. But just making sure that, you know, and it might not even be following up with something that they said. It might be, hey, you know, typing out, this stuck out to me this morning as I was reading the journey and just really hit me hard. So I just wanted to share with y'all. Hope you have a good day. You know, it's not even, hey, I'm praying for you, or hey, you got that hard test today. It's like, hey, this is what God taught me this morning and just wanted to share because it was really good for me. And so I want to hope y'all
are
encouraged.
Or a hilarious YouTube video that you think is hilarious. I mean, yes. That still communicates the
yes.
right kinds of things. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm thinking about you guys. Like, laugh with me here.
Yeah.
yeah, see?
There you go.
That's why I'm here.
Good. That's good.
We don't do the notes. We do YouTube videos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
watch this man, this feat of strength that this behemoth does. Yeah.
Nice. So just some practical tips for you guys to take away at the end of the night. I didn't change my slides on my sheet. What does that top one say?
Practical tips?
Uh-huh.
Oh, make room in your schedule for spontaneity.
Oh, yeah.
You already talked about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we talked about that a little bit. Schedule things outside of community. You know,
rotate,
don't wait
yeah.
for everybody to be available. Schedule something. There will be other things. I think a lot of times groups get paralyzed because they're like, oh, well, Becky can't do that one. Oh, well, Susie can't do next month. Well, then Tina can't do the third month. And it's like, okay, you're never going to do anything. You just got to get something on there at least once a month, something fun. You know, down here I also put like 1 week a month or every other month. Just don't even do whatever Bible study you're on or accountability for 1 week and go to dinner. Go out and have fun. Like, how are you doing? Just talk about life, work, dating, whatever is going on or not going on in your life. And rotate the responsibility each month. And so on your tables, the green sheet that's there is just a list of truly just straight up ideas on ideas to go have fun and be creative in your group. And hopefully, like I said, these are not an all-inclusive list, so hopefully it'll just kind of spur your mind to start thinking about, oh, I never thought about doing that together. Oh, this would be fun, you know, and just kind of going on from there to give you guys ideas.
Yeah, you guys are probably, 4 months in to mm-hmm. 6 months in? You're right on the cusp of your first major conflict, or you maybe have already had that. This could not come at a more perfect time. So I guess I'm just saying, please, will you do some of this stuff? Because if your community group is not warm and relational, and it's more like Groundhog Day in a routine, we're trying to warn you. Like, if it's not relational and warm, it's going to die. It's just how slow is it going to die? And so this is the time to kind of like think creatively. So hopefully this helps you guys tonight. We have some questions. I thought was a slide. Do we have questions for table?
Yeah.
For your table, for your huddle time? Let me just pray for us, and we'll move into our huddle time where you guys can talk through some of these takeaways. Father, we love you. First of all, I'm just so thankful that you're not a God that's far off. You're a God that's nearby. And I thank you that the word that you left for us is not a list of to-dos. It's a right and natural response to who you are and what you've done for us that allows us to live life to its fullest and understand Scripture from a relational context, that you say, of course these things will be here if we love you and we've experienced you. And so, Father, I do pray for just good discussion time in the tables. I pray that you would give us a few things that we can take back to our community groups, not for our sake, not for community group's sake, but for your sake, so that people who are broken and dying and looking for an answer will find it in a living room of somebody who's leading a community group here. And Father, that you would meet them there because of all the hard work that leaders do to set the table for you to show up and meet somebody at their time of need. And so I thank you, Lord, and in Christ's name I pray. Amen.